Hello and welcome to the Folklore Podcast. I'm Mark Norman, folklore researcher and author. We've spoken many times before on the podcast about how folklore can be found behind so many of the things that we do every day. It might be a family tradition, it might be a superstition, and it might be in the most basic rituals that you perform every morning. There is a well-established background, still explored by many who use the term pagan to describe their path, of our being closely in tune with nature, the cycles of the seasons, the sun and moon, or the wheel of the year. There are multitudinous calendar customs born from this. From religious celebration to pure entertainment, much of our folklore is closely linked to nature and the year. Sometimes this might be in ways that you would not immediately call to mind. In today's episode, we present you with one example of that. Alice Marie uses the descriptor of the beauty witch in her work. She's an author and actress, and has studied the use of natural products for nutrition. She has a passion for following a lifestyle which is based in botany, and the use of plants in conjunction with the cycles of the year, the sun and the moon. She has designed a range of products for health and beauty using this lifestyle as a starting point, many of which she shares along with the thinking behind them in her book The Beauty Witch's Secrets, which is published by Llewellyn. Hilary Wilson spoke with Alice Marie about her lifestyle and work in an interview which we hope demonstrates once again how folklore may lie beneath practices where you may not expect it.
You're welcome to the podcast today. So, you are the beauty witch.
Oh, hello. I didn't know you were saying hello to me. Yes. Just saying hello to everyone in general. Yes, I am, in fact.
Yeah, so you wrote in your book this brilliant story about how you came about that moniker. Would you like to share?
I would. It came about just out of the blue, as things do like that. And, it started as this little tiny intuitive whisper, those that they kind of have a neutral voice and you know that it's your intuition. And I just kept hearing this phrase, beauty witch, the beauty witch. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And it just kept growing and it kept sort of tugging at me and tapping at me and nagging at me until it literally filled the room. It was like colorful and bright and tactile and it was all around me. It was really, really sensual. And I thought, I've got to use that. I have to use it. That's going to be the name of my book. I had no idea. I had many other titles, but I said, no, that's it. That's the one. And I thought, well, someone somewhere must be using it. It must mean something. So I looked into it and no one was using it. But I did discover that in the Far East, there is a term of a beauty witch, which means that if you are a woman, particularly of a certain age, and you look good and you have good skin and you're sexy and you're youthful and you're vibrant, you have this inner glow that comes out, something must be involved there. You must be doing some sort of witchcraft or some sort of sorcery, because no one could possibly age that well without some kind of something going on. And of course, sometimes something is going on. Sometimes people, make a lot of visits to their surgeons or dermatologists or whatever it is, but that's not necessarily the way you have to go. And You can, of course. I'm not here to tell anyone they can't or shouldn't. It's just that there's a way to connect with your own feminine power, your own grace, your own radiance, that that sort of inner fire does not have to go away. And that to me is what creates a glow. And if you're willing to go a little deeper and connect to the earth herself and the rhythm of the seasons and the stars and the rhythm of the stars and the planets and all of these things together, you're willing to work with the cycles of the moon and the sun, you can really, really, really tap into something that's quite extraordinary, in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of pagan belief is tied to the turning of the seasons.
Yes.
And I was really, really surprised reading your book that I hadn't seen anybody talking about self-care in relations to the turning of the seasons until you.
Well, I think it applies in so many areas. It applies everywhere in our lives. Why not to taking care of yourself, from the most basic, how we eat and what we absorb on the inside, to how we work with our well-being on the outside? You know, what we apply to our skin, what we bathe in, what, you know, why does that have to be somehow separate? I don't think it should be. I don't think it is. I think it's just as important. And when you start to time all of those things together, then they come together. It's extremely potent. It's extremely potent. And you see, I've seen so many people that I've worked with over the years that the confidence just goes through the roof. And that's what you need. You need that confidence. You need that inner fire, you do, and you need to keep stoking it. You can't let it go out. I think that's how we're all going to age. That's a fact, and that's a beautiful fact. It's part of our lives. It's a part of evolution. There's no such thing as anti-aging, although it's such a buzzword in skincare and beauty, but we're all going to age. We all are aging every moment, every day. But I think that radiance can always be there. I think that glow can always be there. I think that magnetism can always be there. And I think it has everything to do with how you take care of yourself, how you treat yourself. It shows other people how you're to be treated.
I love the idea of it, you know, flowing with the seasons as well, because tune with that, not just in tune with it as, you know, as in, well, this is the current moon phase, but also in tune with it in terms of, you know, it's this season, this plant is now in bloom.
Right.
You know, this would be more powerful. It just puts you more in touch with everything around you. So you'd have to be, you know, more, vibrant, you know, as it
absolutely is. And especially when you're talking about plants and flowers and roots and the elements, you know, the air outside, if it's sunny, if it's not, if it's night, if it's day, if it's cold, if it's hot, the things that you gravitate towards seasonally too, naturally the body wants to gravitate toward. Yes, you are aligning, and then therefore you're in a really strong natural cycle too, where you're resting when you are meant to rest, you're creating when you're meant to create, you're working harder in one spot than the other when you're meant to. And as you say, you're really tapped into the seasonal, I'm just going to call it plants, let's give it a blanket, plants. And so, yes, they are at their height. They are at their most potent. And so you're just going to take their magic with you and honor their magic, you know, give it back to them too.
It reminded me of this year I was lucky enough to go to the local orchards to pick apples and just how astonishingly phenomenal these apples were. Just, you know, being able to eat something when it's actually in season, you know, to eat something that's also a local varietal, you know, that is just a magical experience, I think.
It really is. I mean, we always hear about, you know, eat local, eat seasonal, buy local, support your farmers. But until people actually do it, they don't see the difference. And it's like, you know, someone said to me recently, who's really not attuned to any of this, he said, you know, I got carrots from the shops and they just didn't taste anything like the carrots you brought over. I said, well, yeah, because I brought them from the straight from the farmer. Wow. You know, I mean, I'm lucky to be able to do that where I live, but I think most places you have some kind of access, and yes, or maybe you're growing yourself, and or you go into a local orchard, and the taste is so different, the amount of nutrients are so different, the freshness obviously, and the vibrancy, and that living, that pulse that it has around it is so beautiful, so beautiful.
We've been experimenting a little bit with growing some vegetables here, and the kale that we've grown here has just been phenomenally delicious. It's a fun experience when you're actually connected with the thing that you're growing, you know, and able to really see what you put into it and taste it.
Well, you're really, yes. I mean, the kale out of the garden is and arugula out of the garden too.
Oh, yes.
Is unbelievable. But it's you're really connecting with the cycle of your own nourishment too, you know? And I think that's really important, because who knows where this world is going down the line. I think it's very, very important. Well, I think everyone within the next 10 years, maybe 20 years, is going to need to grow some of their own something. I think they're going to have to. I think it's going to be very important to start considering that, anyone who hasn't already, in whatever way you can, whatever, despite whatever limitations you may have in your space or your budget. Or I think it's really important to start to consider that, because we don't know where things are going. And a lot of, you know, if you're in an area where you have to buy from the shops, a lot of the organic companies are being bought up by non-organic companies, and seeds are getting, you know, and you don't know what's what, really.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell.
And yeah, and so, and it's, I believe it's going to get worse in that respect, not to be doom and gloom today, but just, I think that we have to be aware of it. I think that's really important.
I like to think at some point over the past 2 years, a lot of people got a little bit in touch with how, you know, fun and easy it can be to make some things when they got really into sourdough.
yes, the great sourdough explosion.
Oh, that was fun.
Of lockdown. Yes. Very true. And I think that you can bring that into beauty potions, whether it's something that you ingest or something that you use topically. I think that experience, it's much like gardening, and heavens, if you can grow some of your own flowers and herbs, that's phenomenal too. I don't, but I love when people do. I have in the past. Yeah. And it is quite an experience. And then you're taking those things and you're actually making a potion out of it.
One of the things I really liked about your book was the amount of each, you know, potion, each elixir that you were able to make, that you purposefully were given the amounts so that it could be used within the time period that it should be.
Yes. Yeah. Because, you know, there's a lot of potential for spoilage when you don't have preservatives, or maybe you have a little bit of a natural preservative, but it's not really doing a ton, you know? So I think it's really important to be able to do that. And a lot of times, a lot of my recipes will make extra, because when I've created them, often it's been possibly put into a magazine or something, and so you have to have this very abundant photo with like a lot of face mask, and it's fresh, and you think, oh my goodness, I can't possibly use this all. So I love that idea too of sharing, and whether it's informal, you just bring a little bit to your friend, your neighbor, your mom, whoever, or whether it's gifting. I love that idea. And I think this time of year, it's a really nice thing too, to make some things for people.
I've never met somebody who didn't absolutely love getting a homemade sugar scrub.
Yes, 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 yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's, you know, there are all kinds of, there are all kinds of things in the book. There's all kinds of things out there. And I always encourage people to come up with their own too. And, you know, use all the ingredients listed in the back and the intentions and
oh, yes.
Your own things together, you know?
I think that your book is absolutely excellent for people who are interested in getting into making their own as well. In the back, as you previously mentioned, there is a fantastic guide, not only to where you can get a lot of the products that are listed, but also to what the products are good for, you know, what each ingredient is good for, and what it best aligns with, you know, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it's an excellent way to learn. Just going off of the different recipes, you know, you'd easily be able to modify it to suit your own needs.
You definitely can. And I think the more you read into each ingredient, certain ones really will speak to you more than others. And a lot of people say to me, well, where do I start? And I say, well, you see what's really calling to you. Sometimes I like to just pick up a book like that and just see what page I open to, or see what you're drawn to. Maybe you like a particular ingredient or the idea of a certain kind of preparation. And then you go from there, and you can definitely, I think it's really fun to read about the different ingredients too. Like maybe there's a little bit of backstory, a little bit of folklore. There's a ruling planet. There's some special little anecdote about it in addition to its practical uses. And I also encourage people to take the recipes that are in there and maybe change some things around to their liking, although bearing in mind the point of
yes.
that potion. And so if you're going to swap an ingredient, swap it for a like ingredient. Otherwise, now you're starting to get it. It's a little, its intention can get a little skewed. So, and then it becomes a whole different thing.
Yes.
So just be mindful of that. But yeah. But yeah, it's really fun to play. And I love to hear what people come up with.
Yeah, I really loved the fact that there was such intention with each and every recipe within it. And you also include the, you know, time within the moon phase that it should be done.
Ideally, yes.
Nice.
Ideally, yes. I mean, sometimes you have a requirement or a need for something, and it's not necessarily the phase of the moon that it's exactly aligned with. But it's like any magic, you need it now. So this
we
is
do
what
our best.
Do. Yes, and what I do is I'll switch my intention a little bit. So let's say you're making something. Let's say it's a growing moon and you really need to get rid of a blemish and you want to detoxify it. You want to get rid of it. Now that's not in sync with the bringing good things toward you part of the growing moon. So what I would look at it is, you know, you just switch your intention a little bit and you say, well, I'm clearing the way so that good things can come through. You know, do you know what I mean?
That was me last growing moon. So,
and sometimes you have to do it. Sometimes it's just how it is, and so you just tweak it a bit, and you and there's a lot of the potions in the book, and I believe this wholeheartedly, is that I like to have a little bit of balance going on, wherein. If you have, let's say, a detoxifying elixir, I also like to put a little something in there that's nourishing too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a total cleanse, somewhat of a depletion. I like to also put something back. So, you know, I like to balance elements wherever possible. If you're feeling like you've got a little excess fire in you naturally, let's just say, or a little excess earth in you naturally, I like to always add in a little bit of something to balance that out, you know, in a potion. Feed your power, feed your elemental power for sure, but then give it a little something like a fiery potion I would always give a little grounding, a little earth grounding to. And maybe an earth potion I might give a little fire to for a little motivation, or I might give some water to soften a bit, you know? So I think there's a lot you can play with, a lot you can have fun with too.
Yeah, it helps things not be as harsh as a lot of common beauty products are as well.
Absolutely, and not as rigid, I think, too. I think it's important to, because your beauty, let's say, your skin, your hair, your body, it's not the same every day. It's not the same every season. It changes. We're constantly evolving, and it will always be changing. So you have to be willing to step out sometimes of that comfort zone of what you know and say, you know, I have dry skin, but for some reason today it's congested. So I'm going to use
that's something that we don't think about a lot either. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to just classify ourselves as one thing, and you know, you're right, it does change.
It does, and you know, you're talking about a lot of factors. You have age, you have stress, which, you know, will come and go. You have hormones, which will come and go. You have seasons, which will come and go. You have days that are just better than others, depending on, and a lot of it's in the stars too. You know, you can, Venus can be in retrograde and you could say, well, gee, my hair looks terrible. You know, or, you know, just things can happen. Your natal Venus can be doing something a little funky and you say, okay, well, maybe today is really not the day to go change my hair color. Okay, got it. Or, oh, I changed my hair color and it's really weird. Well, yeah, that was pretty much about to happen, you know? Yeah. So I think all of that is so great to pull in too, because it just gives you more, it gives you more awareness.
And I think that it's something that tends to get passed over a lot, you know, among, you know, in particular among the pagan community.
Mm.
At times there's a focus on the spiritual rather than a focus on the physical. And when we're looking at things in that manner, we fail to account for the fact that both influence one another. So
they absolutely do. They're not separate.
I think that you're marrying them beautifully within your work.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think that we can't, spiritual people in general have a tendency to be out of the body for obvious reasons. And we also tend to absorb other people's energy, obviously. And so that can really put you away and out of tune and out of touch with your physicality, which we can't do, because we need that strength. If we're going to help others, we need that strength. We're going to hopefully change the world one day. I don't know. But but I have noticed amongst a lot of healers I've known throughout this lifetime, a lot of them I've known have been in poor health. And it is just for that reason. It's they're not really considering their own well-being. They're so busy helping others, working at this on the spiritual realm. They're not really taking care of their bodies. And so there's that. I think that more than ever, we need to be aware of our own health. You know, let's start with health. Let's start with well-being and then progress into the joy of the beauty ritual. But also there is a bit of a sense of beauty as being frivolous,
mm-hmm.
as being something ridiculous to concentrate on. And that just makes me very angry when I've heard that kind of response or that kind of feeling, especially amongst pagan communities, because we should know better. We should know that beauty heals, you know. Nature is beauty. Art is beauty. Music is beauty. Love is beauty. they're healing and they're wonderful and they're pleasurable. And why is that somehow superficial? It's not.
Yeah, I've wondered about that as well, because it's a trap almost that we tend to fall into, to devalue the appearance, because we should be focused on more serious concerns. But in fact, the appearance is an outward reflection to a good degree of how you yourself are doing.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. It's like, it's like that old concept, I think it's Buddhist, where it's, you know, you tend to your home and your home is you. And so if your home is chaotic and messy, that is a direct indication of what's going on inside of you. If your front yard looks beautiful, but your inside house is a shambles, that's pretty telling, vice versa, or all of it. And so I think that's the same thing. Your body is you. It's just an outward extension. It's an outward expression of what's going on inside. And if you're willing to take care of yourself spiritually, nourish yourself spiritually, why would you not be willing to nourish yourself physically on the inside and then take that out further?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to take care of your hair, nails, skin, teeth, your entire body?
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing, and I'm surprised that it's not something I've seen, you know, discussed a bit more.
I just think there's become a separation. I don't think there always was, but I feel that in the last, maybe in the last 20 years, maybe longer, that there's a real separation there. And it's almost as if you're a serious magical practitioner, if you're the real deal, you don't care about that stuff. You know, if you're seriously spiritual, you're not thinking about what your hair looks like today.
And that's interesting, because like so much of, you know, ceremonial magic is putting yourself in the right headspace by creating the right environment around you.
And it's so, adornment, it's placement, it's atmosphere.
Yeah, it's, so you think there'd be that focus on the self as well.
You would think. I mean, if you can don a ritual robe or cloak, why not don a ritual eyeliner? Yeah. Why not don a ritual facial serum? You know, I describe it in the book, but I've always felt this way for a very long time, that, you know, your beauty is a ritual, your well-being is a ritual, just as much as you hopefully prepare a meal and sit down to eat something, you're sitting at your dressing table, and that's your altar as much as your kitchen table is, or your dining table, or your actual altar.
It's the I really same liked thing. That framing.
Yeah, thank you. It's the same thing, no? So I think it should be celebrated. I don't think anything less will do. I don't think anything less honors us.
Yeah, I really liked the way that you were framing it that way within the book, and how you were also going through the different tools that would be needed, you know, for the ritual, for the altar, and you were very good about, you know, referencing where you could purchase such things, and, you know, where you could purchase such quality things, you know, as well.
Yes, yes.
Because the quality of the tools is very important.
The quality of the tools is very important, and I'm a huge fan of reusing and vintage and antique and wherever you can acquire those kinds of things, however you can acquire those kinds of things. But also, if you're going to buy something new, be thoughtful about it. You know, I try to include a lot of, you know, let's say a brush or a comb or the little cotton pads that you use on your face. Maybe you're not using a cotton pad. Maybe you're using something that's washable and reusable. And yes, it's more work. It's kind of a pain. It's a little bit more expensive. But really, in the end, I think it's the way to go. I think that you are honoring your earth by doing that as much as anybody can. We all just have to do our best. We can't do any more than that. But I think we have to make a concentrated effort if we're not going to use, you know, plastic shopping bags, then why are we going to constantly be throwing out facial makeup removers and of that nature? Why not consider all of that? I think it's important.
I really liked the focus on sustainability within your book and within your work in general. I think that's an important discussion.
It is an important discussion, and it's a challenging one, because I feel like now we all, I'm sure there are many, many, many people out there doing their absolute best, and small companies, and doing their best to be sustainable and be mindful of their sourcing and their packaging and their shipping, just everything. But it's so hard, really, because you have to stop sometimes and say, what is sustainable at this point? I don't know. I don't know that anyone quite has that answer. I think we're all just doing our best. You know, for a while it was all about recycling, and then we all kind of got wind of the fact that things don't really get recycled at this point. In the States, they don't. The States' recyclables don't really get that at this point. So then it becomes, well, what can we reuse? How long can we possibly reuse it for? And it's a tough one. It's a tough one, because at some point you're making trash. At some point you're making something that you hope does not end up in the ocean.
Oh, but to be able to make some of your own, you know, beauty ingredients, to be able to use recyclables to filter them in, I think that's a really neat way to handle things.
It is. It really is. And it's, and you know, in that realm too, like, you can really customize what you have on your beauty altar, much as anywhere in your home. You can really have that special jar you find, or a beautiful little perfume bottle or something that you can recycle. And a lot of times you can get them for a song, really.
Oh, gosh, yes. There's a lot of very fun places.
There are a lot of fun places.
There's a lot of local antique shops that are very fun to go to.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Goodwills and garage sales. And maybe your auntie has some beautiful thing that she'd love to give to you. You know, there's tons of it. And then it really does become very special. I know when I sit down at my dressing table and I see this beautiful little jar and this little, you know, Egyptian rose water bottle, and who knows, maybe it's something I found thrifted, and maybe it's something I bought during a trip and it really is special to me because it reminds me of the place. But it does, it feels like the ceremony has begun now. Now I'm going to really step into my personal power and my feminine power. And wow, what's the day going to bring? I can't wait to know.
I think it's beautiful when you're able to fill your life with stories, around the things that are around you.
Yes.
The more stories that you have, the more you build yourself up, and you're able to present that to the world.
I agree. I agree. And I love when things tell their tales to you and they're special. And actually, it can really heighten a conversation or start a conversation, which is always nice, because I think that's one thing we maybe need to get back to too, is more conversations and less scrolling.
Oh, you definitely have me agreeing with you there. It's great to be able to connect with people.
And it is. It really
stories are a good way to do that.
Yes.
So where can people find you online?
Well, they can find me at thebeautywitch.com. That's my website. And you can see all my writing, my magazine writings and my columns, and you can order my book through there and order my, I have a little boutique line of EcoLux beauty potions that you can buy. And I also do online, I'll be doing them in person soon, but I'm not I'm not quite ready to announce that, but I do readings online, astrology readings, but beauty witch style. So maybe I'll do your whole chart. Maybe I'll just do your moon or your Venus, and kind of help you find what you need based on that information. So that's really fun. And you can also buy my book pretty much anywhere. They're in the small shops. They're in obviously occult and spiritual bookshops, but they're also in regular bookshops. Somebody told me they saw my book in a Walmart.
Oh, wow.
I said, did you take a photo? They said, no. I said, why?
That would be so neat to see.
I think that would have been really surreal and hilarious and weird and funny and interesting. But you can also get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get it through my publisher, Llewellyn. So yeah, so there's all of that. And also, I'm, as far as social media, I'm mostly on Instagram because I love pretty pictures of things and interesting things. So I'm on Instagram. I am the Beauty Witch Official.
Mm-hmm.
And I am on Twitter and Twitter never really. And Facebook, I believe I'm Madame Beauty Witch, but I'm really not on there very much either. Only when I'm forced to make a post to promote something. But no, I don't. I just really like Instagram. I like that. I like all the visuals. I've met so many wonderful artists through.
Oh, it's a really fun place to scroll through.
Yes, I've connected with a lot of photographers around the world and graphic designers and fine artists and just beautiful people. So I love that. And you can always drop me a line via my website. I'd love to hear from people, answer any questions. And
do you have anything that you're currently working on that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Oh my goodness, I am working on so many things. I think my hair was standing on end this morning. I have a few things I'm cooking up at the moment, but they are in the works. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that I am going to be out and about a bit more this year and having some live events. So I will definitely be posting about that. And I am going to be starting up an online masterclass. And that will be very, very exciting. So yeah, there's a lot of cool things. I would say find me online, find me on social media, and you'll be up to date on everything as it unfolds.
Well, I will happily be following it all. It was a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Thank you, and a pleasure to speak with you. So nice to meet you.
That's nice to meet you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Visit Alice Marie's website if you'd like to know more about her work. The book, The Beauty Witch's Secrets, can be found online and in all good bookshops. We've recently added a new t-shirt to our web store, designed to allow you to celebrate your love of folklore. So, if you want to help us in our work, why not do it with a Folklore Nerd t-shirt? Visit the website for more details. If you'd like to get access to more content in return for a small pledge of support each month, then join our other supporters at www.patreon.com/thefolklorepodcast. Without that community, we wouldn't still be broadcasting to you all regularly. For the price of one cup of coffee, you could support us for 3 months. Thanks for listening. See you next time.